ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 7, which is entitled Lord Shiva Saves the Universe by Drinking Poison, text 32 and 33. So we'll first read 32. Kamadvara Tripura Kalagaradi Aneka Bhuta Drua Kshapayata Stutaye Natate Yastvanta Kala Idam Atma Kritam Svanetra Vani Spulinga Sikaya Bhashitam Naveda. Translation: when annihilation is performed by the flames and sparks emanating from your eyes, the entire creation is burned to ashes. Nonetheless, you do not know how this happens. What then is to be said of your destroying the Daksha Yagya, Tripurasura and Kalakuta poison? Such activities cannot be subject matters for prayers offered to you. There is a small purport. Since Lord Shiva considers the great acts he performs to be very unimportant, what was to be said of counteracting the strong poison produced by the churning? The demigods indirectly prayed that Lord Shiva counteract the Kalakuta poison, which was spreading throughout the universe. Text 33. Yet Fatma Rama Guru Birridi Chintitangri Vandvam charantam umaya tapasa bitaptam kutamta ugra parusham niratam smasane tenunam utim avidam stava atalaja. Yetvatma Rama Guru Bir Ridi Chintitangri Vandvam Charantam Umaya Tapasa Biptaptam Katamta Ugra Parusham Niratam Smashane Tenunam mutim avidam stava atalaja. Itatva Rama Guru Biridi Chintitangri. Tvandvam charantam umaya tapasa bitaptam. Katanta ugra parusham niratam smashane tenunam utim avidam stava atalaja please repeat Tadra Parasham Nirvam Smasham. Tapasabitaptam Tanta Ugra Parasham Niratam Smasane Nunam Mutaina Vidam Stavata Lajja. What is this? Persons who?
Persons who?
To? Indeed.
Indeed.
Atmarama Guru Bi.
By those who are
self-satisfied.
And who are considered to be spiritual masters
of the world.
Ridi.
Within the heart,
Chintita Angri Dvandvam,
thinking of your two lotus feet,
Charantam,
moving,
Umaya,
with your consort Uma.
Tapasa abhitaptam,
highly advanced through practice of austerity
and penance.
Katamte, criticize your acts.
Ugra parusham,
not a gentle person.
Niratam,
always.
Smashane,
in the crematorium.
Ti,
such persons.
Nunam,
indeed.
Utim,
such activities.
Avidam,
not knowing.
Tava,
your activities. Hatalaja. Shameless. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Exalted, self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world, think of your lotus feet constantly within their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty. Or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly, they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities.
Please repeat.
Exalted self-satisfied persons,
who preach to the entire world,
think of your lotus feet
constantly
within their hearts.
However,
when persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty. Or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava.
Vaishnavanam yata sambhu. It is therefore said, Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigyena bhujaya. Even the most intelligent person cannot understand what a Vaishnava like Lord Shiva is doing or how he is acting. Those who are conquered by lusty desires and anger cannot estimate the glories of Lord Shiva, whose position is always transcendental. In all the activities associated with lusty desires, Lord Shiva is an implement of Atmaram. Ordinary persons, therefore, should not try to understand Lord Shiva and his activities. One who tries to criticize the activities of Lord Shiva is shameless.
Om Agyanati Marandasya Agyananya Slakaya Shakshurin Militam Yenata Smaya Shigurave Namaha Amon Vismadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Satvarup Das Goswami Tinamine Amon Vismadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prasarine Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschacha Desatarine.
So in this part of the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have like eight chapters, more or less one third of the eighth canto, eight chapters discussing these pastimes where the demigods got in trouble. They got in trouble, in double trouble, because on one hand they were already in trouble, and then the leader, Lord Indra, made this mistake by which he offended Durvasa Muni.
And then Durvasa Muni cursed the demigods that they would become bereft of wealth, that they would become poverty-stricken. So that was like a double. And then they really went into trouble and the demons really took over, basically. So then they approached, as usual, they approached Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma took them to Lord Vishnu. Sometimes he goes by himself, sometimes he takes the demigods with him. So in this case, he took the demigods with him and to Lord Vishnu. And then Lord Vishnu, he proposed to make a truce. Sometimes we do that. When there is a problem, we try to make a settlement. So in this case, Lord Vishnu proposed to make a truce and to propose to the demons to churn the ocean, the milk ocean, and get nectar, and that nectar would then make them eternal, would then make them survive. So that once they discussed this with Bali Maharaj, who was the king of the demons, then they became interested in this settlement. They became interested in this agreement, this truce. And there was the Mandara Mountain was involved there. The Mandara Mountain, just the diameter of the Mandara Mountain is around 1,000 times the diameter of Mother Earth. Just to give an idea of the size of. So then when they started to because they had to bring the Mandara Mountain, they had to bring him to the Milk Ocean. So there they had the first problem, because it was a heavy mountain, because there's also a lot of gold in the Mandara Mountain. So it was super heavy. Gold is like 16 times more heavy than water. So they had great difficulty. Some demons and some demigods got crushed under the Mandara Mountain. So then Lord Vishnu again, since he had made a proposal, he came down and helped them out. He took with one of his four hands, he took the Mandara Mountain and put it on Garuda, and Garuda was flying the Mandara Mountain on the right place in the Milk Ocean. So then they got Vasuki agreeable to be used as a rope. And then they started churning. In between time, also Lord Vishnu had not only taken the mountain, but he also had revived all these demigods who were smashed under the Mandara Mountain, and the demons also. He revived them all. They did not have any injuries left anymore. So then they started churning the Mandara Mountain. But since the mountain is so heavy, and since the bottom of the sea is like loose sand, and so then the mountain started to go down in the sand of the sea, and started to become even more difficult to churn this mountain. Then again, Lord Vishnu came, and he took the form of the tortoise, and went underneath the Mandara Mountain and lifted it, and so that the mountain could be churned much more easy. Once he was on the back of the tortoise, the huge, he expanded himself as a huge tortoise. So then the mountain could easily be moved and churned, and the mountain was then churning the Milk Ocean. And then as a result of that, the first, before the nectar coming out, there was the poison coming out. So the poison was coming out, and it was heavy poison. It was just like we know some serpents, they can kill a person by just injecting some of their poison in the body, in our body. So this poison was very, very concentrated, very strong. And so they went to Lord Shiva. It's not that Lord Vishnu couldn't deal with that, but Lord Vishnu gave the opportunity to Lord Shiva to take care of this, be involved in this. So the demigods went to see Lord Shiva, and then Lord Shiva agreed to come down. So that's more or less where the pastime is here. Here are the, we are in discussing the verses who are glorifying Lord Shiva. Because when you go to an exalted person, then when you want his help, then the most, the best way, the most Vaishnava etiquette way is to praise that person, to glorify that person for his qualities. And that's what they did. And we have gone through a number of verses like that where Lord Shiva is being glorified. And as Anuttama Prabhu remarked the other day in the class, these glorifications, these prayers, are sometimes a little difficult to understand, because some of these prayers are like prayers for Lord Vishnu. And just that you can see it by when they say he or then there is no capital letter. Otherwise, you can easily mistake it for prayers being directly offered to the Lord. Because when a prayer is offered to the Lord, then when there is referred to he or him or your, then the capital letter is used. But here, for Lord Shiva, then it's the capital letter for you and your is not used. So that's how. But at the first sight, it looks like. And then here in the purport of today, Srila Prabhupada is saying that even the most intelligent person cannot understand what a Vaishnava like Lord Shiva is doing or how he is acting. So Lord Shiva is not, from this it's clear, it's not so easy to be understood. And then Srila Prabhupada continues, especially if one is conquered by lusty desires, then one cannot estimate the glories. But even an intelligent person is saying it's difficult to understand Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva has many qualities. If we look on the like an ordinary jiva, has 50 qualities to some degree. And then the demigods, they have 50 qualities to a higher degree. And Lord Shiva, he has 55 qualities to higher degree. And Lord Vishnu, he has the 55 qualities, and then he has another 5 qualities that nobody else has. And then Lord Krishna has 64 qualities. So from that we can see that it is important to see Lord Shiva in connection to Lord Vishnu. So it is said that Lord Shiva is a guna avatar in charge of destruction, in charge of ignorance. He is also one of the 12 Mahajans, authorities on devotional service to the Lord. And here also in this verse it said that Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam yata sambhu. He is the topmost Vaishnava. And his name, the word Shiva, means auspicious. That's the direct translation of Lord Shiva's name. It's also said that Lord Shiva, Rudra, is in the marginal position. So he is not an ordinary living being. He is a plenary portion of the Lord because he is in direct touch. But because he is in direct touch with the material nature, he is not exactly in the same position as Lord Vishnu. When Lord Vishnu, he is not affected by the material nature, while Lord Shiva, he is affected by the material nature. Lord Shiva is also called Ashutosha. That's also one of his qualities. That means that he is easily pleased. So it's not so difficult to please Lord Shiva. And he is also, another name for him is Bhutanath. Means he is simple, ordinary people, low-class people, you can say, can easily take shelter of him. He allows that. And he grants easily power or gifts. He gives that easily when he is approached. When he is pleased, he easily grants benedictions. And that sometimes plays back on him. Like we have the case with Vrikasura, who is like a demoniac person. And he wanted to receive the benediction from Lord Shiva that whoever he touched is the head, that head would crack, finish. So some or other he pleased Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva gave him that benediction. But then he wanted to try it out on Lord Shiva himself. So Lord Shiva had to go on the run in the universe. And then when he came to Lord Vishnu, then some or other by the mystical power of Lord Vishnu, he convinced Vrikasura that that's not serious. This will not work. And Lord Vishnu said, "Why don't you try it on your head?" And some or other, by the mystical power of Lord Vishnu, he tried. And it was finished. That was the end of his demoniac presence. Also, Ravana was very fond of Lord Shiva. Ravana glorified Lord Shiva, and he got many boons from Lord Shiva. But then he used his boons, his strength, his power to fight against Lord Ram and to steal Sita. Of course, Lord Shiva didn't help with that, but the problem became bigger because Ravana became a very powerful demon. That's how the problem increased. Although Lord Shiva obviously is a servant of Lord Vishnu, is a servant of Lord Ram, so he was not going to help, but he, in an indirect way, it had an effect. The fight was more tough because the demon was more tough because of the power he got from Lord Shiva. It's also said that Lord Shiva is a Shaktyavesha avatar, empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to fulfill a certain function. And there are three guna avatars. We have Lord Brahma, he is the creator. Lord Vishnu is the maintainer of the creation, goodness. Lord Brahma, creation, passion. And Lord Shiva is the guna avatar of destruction, of ignorance. And from the three, one is not influenced by Maya, and that is Lord Vishnu. And Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are, to some extent, under the influence of Maya. We can also see, even, this is even part of these eight chapters we are going through, with the pastime of the, where Lord Vishnu, Ksirudaksaya Vishnu, takes the form of Mohini Murti to bewilder the demons. And then later, Lord Shiva was not there present because he had done his task of drinking the poison, so he was. But then later Lord Shiva approached Lord Vishnu and he said, "I would like to see your form as Mohini Murti." And so then Lord Vishnu kind of bowed and smiled a little bit. And so then Lord Vishnu manifested himself as a very attractive person. Because Lord Shiva is not bewildered by beautiful damsels or beautiful ladies, even if they are very, very, very beautiful. Basically, only Krishna, only Lord Vishnu can appear in a way that bewilders Lord Shiva. And that's also shown in this pastime. By himself, he cannot be bewildered by any beautiful lady or manifestation. But because it was an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu wanted him to show that, then he became actually affected and bewildered. Even a few verses ago, Srila Prabhupada in the purport says, because Lord Shiva is directly an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, He is situated as Lord Vishnu's direct representative. So, Lord Shiva is very special, very elevated. Still, we do say that we do say in the when we read the 10 offenses, that second offense is to not consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, to be equal or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. So, but that's where the point is. The Lord Shiva has very high qualities, but to consider them independent of Lord Vishnu, that is the offense. Because Lord Shiva is not independent of Lord Krishna, of Lord Vishnu. He is very much connected. He is very much... that's why Lord Shiva also glorifies Lord Vishnu and chants the holy name, chants the holy names. Another statement is there that Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living being. He is a plenary portion of the Lord. But because Lord Shiva is in direct touch with the material nature, he is not exactly in the same position as Lord Vishnu. And then the example is given that the difference is like that between milk and curd, milk and yogurt. That yogurt is nothing but milk. There is nothing added there. Just make the milk into yogurt, that's all. But there is nothing, no, it's curd is milk. Yet it cannot be used in the place of milk. That's Sri Prabhupada uses that example. And Lord Shiva was saying to his wife Durga, although I am one of the principal expansions of his lordship, even I was illusioned by his energy. What then is to be said of others who are fully dependent on Maya? This he is saying after that, after he saw this very attractive form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he said that. Even I was illusioned by his energy. What then to say to be said of others who are fully dependent on Maya? So Lord Shiva is very, is the greatest Vaishnava, is very, we own all respect to him, but in connection with the Lord. And that's why we are told that we should concentrate on praying to the Lord, because when the Lord is satisfied, everybody else who is connected to the Lord, included Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, will be satisfied with our prayers. There is no need for separate. Of course, some people, they think that Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Lord Shiva has all these different manifestations and incarnations, and so they see him separate from the Lord. That is what is the problem. If we see Lord Shiva connected to Lord Vishnu, then everything is fine. Problem is when we see him separate, independent. And that's why it's also the second offense. So I will stop here. If there is any comment or questions, please. Yes, Mataji. Is there a mic? Or?
You mentioned that Lord Shiva is affected by material nature, and also that Lord Shiva cannot be affected by any most beautiful dancer. So in which way is he affected by material nature when the fact that he doesn't even get bewildered by most beautiful dancers?
Yeah, my understanding is that Lord Vishnu gave him that function to be in connection with the material world. So that's his role he plays. Like Lord Vishnu himself is completely, unaffected by the material world. But in the service that he does, he is affected to the material world because he is doing the destruction of the material world. So in that sense, that's my understanding. Yes, Guru. Yeah, he's saying that we should respect the demigods, but then what does that mean for us coming from Western background? Yeah. So he's saying that in relation to our sadhana, will the demigods be automatically, since we need to respect them, will they automatically be satisfied without giving them special attention? Yeah, Srila Prabhupada gives that example of the tree has many branches and fruits and leaves, and so when we water the roots of the tree, then the whole manifestation of the tree, everything you see, gets satisfied because it gets nourished. So, since we have the demigods have the same Lord as we have, and since we pray sincerely and chant the holy name of the Lord, then the understanding is that all the demigods, even our parents, our family, everybody benefits, everybody is ultimately satisfied by what we do. So the demigods do not need separate worship or separate attention, because if we give our worship and attention to the Lord, and if we do devotional service, then they also will be ultimately satisfied, and we have done the best we can. But if there is an occasion or situation where there is you know, where we pass by, for example, Shiva Linga, because the Shiva Linga is the protector of the dam, then it's not that we look down to that and say, oh, this is not important. Only, you know, just the fact, the attitude also plays a role. We should respect with respect. We should deal with that and not look down to the demigods. So that's what we have to see in practice, because at sometimes also in my Krishna consciousness, I also, you know, or we were told that, oh, demigods, but actually they are very special personalities. So we have to respect them as Vaishnavas, because they are more empowered to do this administrative service for the, you know, for the universe. Just like when you are live in a city and you meet a mayor, the mayor comes to see you, you don't disregard him, and you receive him nicely, because he is a karmi, but he plays a special role in your city where you're living. So you respect this. So the demigods, we even more so, because they are Vaishnavas. Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. So we respect them. But we don't need to go out of our way on the level of sadhana bhakti, because Lord Shiva is satisfied with our effort we do in devotional service and in the chanting of the holy names. Yes, Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Advaita Acharya's combination of Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu?
Perhaps I missed the point as I was running down. Lord Shiva, he says that I'm affected by the material energy because I was bewildered by Mohini Murti. So I came under Maya. I was influenced by Maya. However, it appears to me, and I could be wrong, that Mohini Murti is an expansion of Vishnu. Mohini Murti is Vishnu Tattva, and Maya is Shakti Tattva. So it seems that to me that Lord Shiva did not actually come under the material energy of Maya, but actually the influence of Vishnu.
Mm-hmm. That's my understanding also, but since this is coming up in the coming up chapters, if we are a little, you know, in a few months, whatever time it will take, then we will be able to go there from verse to verse, and then there will be an opportunity to go deeper into that particular, because I don't have much more to say than it's my understanding also that he became attracted because it was incarnation of Lord Vishnu. That's and because Lord Vishnu wanted him, I think, to show him that, you know, that he is the supreme, then Lord Shiva fell for it. And it's of course a sign that he's subordinate to Lord Shiva, to Lord Vishnu. But we will have opportunity to get into that in the coming months. We have to, yes, Prabhu.
Isn't it also said that the demigod, they wanted a powerful warrior? So the idea was to send a beautiful girl, Parvati, to entice her. She went Parvati Kaya. So we can say without meat and emotion that he came under the influence of Parvati also, not only more.
Thank you.
Well, Prabhupada also quotes the Sanskrit Brahma, the Sanskrit text, which describes Lord Shiva as being Veera.
Okay, I'm
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj. Prabhu, you want to? Thank you very much. So, Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande.
Chapter. This is the third out of eight.